What we're going to be talking about this morning is what it means to be zealous of good works, what it means to have a zeal for God. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the Apostle Paul uses this idea of zeal and points out that this is something that needs to characterize all of us. 2 Corinthians 8 at verse 12, he says, if the readiness is there, and he's, of course, he's talking to the Christians who are taking up funds to relieve the need that existed in Jerusalem. And he says, if the need is there, or if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. But he goes on and he praises the Corinthians because of the incredible zeal that they had in taking up this contribution for the poor saints in Jerusalem. Now, this idea of zeal, that's not a word that we use very often. We talk about being zealous, but I'm not always convinced that we understand what it means to have zeal. Well, the literal meaning of having zeal is to be a zealot. In the original Greek, it's Z-E-L-O-T-E-S, zelotes, to be a zealot. So what does Vine have to say? What's the lexical information around being zealous? Well, Vine says it's an uncompromising partisan. And he gives the example of Simon the zealot. We're familiar with Simon. He was one of the disciples. And in Matthew, the 10th chapter at verse 4, there's this really interesting play on words. He's called a Canaanite. Not because he was from Canaan, but that's the way that they referred to zealots. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but in the first chapter of the book of Acts and at verse 13, when the apostles are named, he's called Simon the Zealot. So he's a Canaanite, Matthew the 10th chapter, verse 4. But more than that, he's a zealot. And this is what Vine says, that word signifies a fervent proponent of any given person or thing. One who does not concede his position when he believes that he's right. Interesting. The Apostle Paul describes himself as a zealous person. And that may be what he's talking about. I don't give up my position when I believe that I'm right. Well, there's some historical information about zealots. I think we understand that this was a group of individuals in the first century. They grew up in the Judean province. They were opposed to everything Roman. That they would do everything they could to stop the Romans from exercising control over Judea. The first Jewish war, 66 to year 70, is a time when they flourished. And Josephus uses the term zealots as indicative of a fourth group among the Jewish philosophers. There were the Pharisees, we're familiar with, Sadducees, we're familiar with, Essenes, that's basically the people that lived in the Qumran community. They were ascetics, And we've talked a little bit about how John the Baptist was an ascetic. Then there's, Josephus says, there's this fourth group that are called the Zealots. And this fourth group were, well, they were led by a man named Judas, who had come from Galilee in the year 6. He leads a rebellion, and it was occasioned by one of the censuses that the Romans took, and they just would not give any credence to the Roman authorities. According to Josephus, they agree in all other things with Pharisaic notions, but they have an inviolable attachment to liberty. They say that God is their only ruler and their only Lord. Judas of Galilee lost his two sons in that conflict that began in the year six. They were executed by Tiberius Alexander. They had a leading role in the first Jewish war. In fact, among the Zealots, there was a group called the Sicarii. They were the Zealots of the Zealots, if you will. The Sicarii, during the siege of Jerusalem, were so convinced that the Jews had to fight the Romans to the nail. You know what they did? They burned all of the food so that the Jews would have to fight. Think about that for a minute. These people were zealous. And in fact, some people would suggest that Paul was perhaps one of this group prior to his conversion. But because the rest of the Jews weren't as converted as they were, they burned their food. We'll get you to fight. We'll get you to be concerned about the Romans. We'll get you to respond. We'll burn your food. Amazing. But think about it. This is in some ways what we're called to be. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter at verse 10. The writer says, whatever you do, he says, work hard at whatever you do. You'll soon go to the world of the dead where no one works or thinks or reasons or knows anything. While you're here, work hard. Colossians 2 at verse 23. Do your work willingly, as though you were serving the Lord himself, not just your earthly master. Romans 12 at verse 11. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Matthew 12 at verse 30. If you're not on my side, you're against me. If you don't gather in the harvest with me, you scatter it. First Corinthians 9 at verse 24. You know that many runners enter the race, and only one wins the prize. So run to win, not to finish second. Run to win. Titus, the 2nd chapter at verse 14. Talking about Jesus. He gave himself to rescue us from everything that's evil and to make our hearts pure. He wanted us to be his own people and to be eager to do what's right. We're called to be zealous. I don't think we want to burn down people's houses so they'll have to fight. Now, how do we make sense of all of this? Having zeal for good works, being zealous for good works, is fairly easy to begin. It's hard to maintain. Most of us are zealous about doing our daily Bible reading. And it's easy to begin. Remember back January the 1st? We all started reading the chronological Bible together, or at least some of us did. Some of us started reading the chronological Bible. And throughout the month of January, it was pretty easy. Because we got to read the hero stories. And then after a while, we got to the law, and it was hard to keep it up. And then we got to some exciting stories again. Then we got to the Psalms, and it's hard to keep it up. I know how hard it is to keep it up. Kim and I went on vacation, and we got 10 days behind. And we're still trying to catch up. And we're trying to catch up before next Saturday because we're going to have breakfast club at our house. It's easy to begin. It's just hard to keep it going. 2 Corinthians 8, beginning at verse 6. Not verse 16, as it says on the slide. Beginning at verse 6. The apostle sent Titus to the Corinthians that as he had started, he should complete among you this act of grace, taking up the collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. As you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all the earnestness in your love for you and in our love for you, see that you excel in this grace also. But I had to send Titus. So he could keep you going. And that's really what zeal is. I say this not as a commandment, but to prove the earnestness of, to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. Look at the people around you. That's one of the ways that we can maintain our zeal for good works. What's the practical advice? Keep the focus on the Spirit. And I think that's the most important thing that we can learn from this. I have to be zealous for good works. I have to be eager to do the things of God. Galatians 3 at verse 3, the apostle importantly says that having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to be perfected by the flesh? We began in the Spirit. Let's keep our focus on the Spirit. When I get behind in my reading, I start blaming myself. And I say, you've got to be stronger. When I start doing the things that God wants me to do, the kinds of works that he's outlined that I should be involved in, and then I flag in my spirit, I start to look inward. That's the wrong way to stay zealous. Keep the focus on the Spirit, not on yourself. And you need to inform your zeal with the knowledge about God. Romans 10, the apostle talks about the Jews. He said they have a zeal, but it's not according to the knowledge of God. They just went about flailing about trying to do something. Have you ever noticed that the people that seem to know very little about what's going on flail their arms aimlessly trying to do something? For a while, I was an EMT. Used to roll up on the scene, and you'd find people laying all over the place after a car crash. And people running up to you saying, do something, do something, do something. And I had to spend my time initially figuring out what was going on. I had to do triage. I had to look at everybody and figure out what was happening. And then I had people that were running around. They were trying to do something, but they made it worse. Somebody is screaming in pain, and they bend over and pick them up, and they wind up breaking their back. Being zealous doesn't mean being frantic. Being zealous means that we take a careful, informed approach to everything that we're trying to do. Undirected zeal is just flailing around, waving our arms and not doing any good. Finally, remember always that godliness becomes a burden when it's pursued half-heartedly. The book of Malachi in the Old Testament, it's the last book in the Old Testament, really interesting book. Malachi the prophet comes to the people of Israel and says, you've got to serve God. They say, we've been serving God. Malachi said, no, you haven't been. This is the way that Malachi is written this way. It's a kind of a conversation between Malachi, who's speaking for God, and the people who are not doing what they should have been doing. Malachi, the first chapter, we'll start in verse 6. As a son honors his father and a servant his master, if then I am a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? God responds, by offering polluted food upon my altar. But they said, how have we polluted you? And God said, by saying the table, the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals and sacrifice, is that not evil? When you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he be accepted or show you? Would you be accepted or will he show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? What they were bringing to God was the worthless stuff. And they were despising his table. They were doing things, but they were despising God. If you read the rest of the book of Malachi, Malachi winds up saying it would be better if we closed the doors. You're not respecting God. And here's the thing. anytime you want to have a relationship with God and you try to do it without giving him your very best, you will inevitably be convinced that it's just not worthwhile to serve God. His table is contemptible if all you bring is the worthless stuff. If you want to know how to have zeal for God, don't do anything half-heartedly. Do everything to the very best of your ability. Give God your best. I preached a sermon one time, and I said, if you want to know what this is, it's giving until it feels good. Sometimes we talk about giving and we say, if you really want to serve God, you need to give until it hurts. No, it'll hurt when you're just barely serving God. Nobody that serves God with every ounce of their being concludes that it's worthless to serve God. You know who concludes that? People that serve him half-heartedly. So give till it feels good. That's what it takes. We're going to stand in just a minute, and we're going to sing a song together. It'll be an opportunity for us to think about our relationship with God. What's it going to be? Is it going to be zeal? We don't want undirected zeal, just going out burning down the house. But we want to be zealous.